Welcome to At the Organ, a weekly show about the classical organ and its music, heard on organlive.com every Sunday or streaming from our website anytime. Just point your browser to attheorgan.com for more information. Now, let's hear what's happening this week at the organ.
Hi, and welcome to At the Organ. My name is Brent Johnson, and today is June 5th, 2011. This week, we're talking about the Wicks Organ Company of Highland, Illinois. Hi, and thanks for joining me this week at the Organ. This week, June 7th, 2011, an event is happening not far from here that's gotten a lot of attention lately. The Wicks Organ Company, located in Highland, Illinois, just east of St. Louis, is holding a large public auction of most of their tools, machinery, extra parts, and even their entire building. Most of the time when an event like this occurs, it's a sign that the company has met its end. In order to find out more, we wanted to talk to the people in charge and see what exactly is going on at this company that's been building organs in that town for more than 100 years. Now, for full disclosure, I was an employee of this company for several years, so I asked Nicole Morales to go over to Highland and to speak with president of the company, Mark Wick. Hi, Nikki. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Brent. Thanks for having me.
So what did you and Mark talk about this week?
When Mark and I sat down, he gave me a quick overview on the history of the company.
Wick's Organ Company started in the early 1900s, back in 1906, and it started out with my grandfather, John Francis Wick. He was actually a watchmaker by trade, and he was also a fine pianist. And the local pastor asked him if he would become an organist. So if you can imagine, at the turn of the century, traveling from Highland to St. Louis, which was over 30 miles, and taking organ lessons, after he became an accomplished organist after studying at St. Louis University, the same pastor asked him, I want you to build me a pipe organ. And they built the first Wicks organ back in actually 1902, of which we actually have here in Highland, Illinois. And that was a mechanical action organ, and that organ was the first one of 6,466 of which we've built today. Our instruments are ones that are very reliable, and then when it comes to the sound, we try to talk with the customer and see what sound they like, make sure we can develop it for them, and then create a visual design that looks like it's been in that church, the pipe organ, since day one.
And then Mark told me about the auction that's coming up this week.
The auction is going to be June 7th of this year. It is a Tuesday. The auction will start at 10 a.m., and that is Central Time. So anybody who wants to be at the auction, you have to register like at 9 o'clock, or if it's online, obviously you need to register prior to 10 o'clock. And the beauty of this is the company is Stuart Milner. You can go to their website. You can Google them, Stuart Milner. They're out of Union, Missouri. And you can click on auctions, and then it will list our company, and then you can actually register online. They're taking pictures of every lot, so you can see what's going to be sold. Obviously, people who are here will be able to see it firsthand. There are over 1,500 lots. I suspect this will go till late evening before it's finished. If somebody wants to walk through the company, June 6th is a Monday, and I believe it's like 9 to 4. They can do the preview. So anybody's welcome to do that. We are also going to offer the property and the building for sale. We have a reserve set on it, so I don't know if it'll meet reserve. I don't know if it will sell. If it does sell, that's fine. If it doesn't sell, that's fine. And the property is about 7.71 acres. The building's 81,000 square feet. But there will be everything from hand tools. There are JBL speakers, Crown amplifiers. There are organs. Complete organs that can be purchased. There's woodworking machinery, plenty of sandpaper, all kinds of just odds and ends. And being around for 105 years, I'm sure there's some things here that antiquers may find interesting that I don't necessarily identify with, but somebody in the antique market may. So I would suggest go online, and I believe they're loading photos as I speak to where you can go see what's all here and then decide, you know, if there's something of appeal and then find out, you know, what number that is, and then follow along.
So it sounds like this is a really big auction, Nikki.
I toured the factory with Mark, and they do have a lot of things. It'd be interesting to people that aren't even in the organ business, local contractors, and just people who own homes and are working on their homes.
So it's not just specifically organ building equipment, necessarily.
No, it's anything you could imagine. Bandsaws, hand tools, everything you could possibly imagine.
Well, does this mean that this is the end of Wix Organ Company? I mean, if they're selling off all their tools, can we expect them to stop building pipe organs?
You know, a lot of people out there think that this auction means that Wix is closing its doors, but Mark assured me that that is not the case.
We're in a very interesting time. Right now, due to the economy, money is very tight for a lot of people. And the result of that is fewer people can give the type of money that they normally give to churches. If churches don't have the additional money being donated or given every week, they're not able to move forward on their plans. So as a result, the giving is down, and so people don't have the money to move forward on buying the instruments that they would normally be contracting with us and other organ companies. In addition, there are a number of churches that are going to a more contemporary worship, where they're using a band or an orchestra. And as a result, they're not using a pipe organ or a pipe and digital organ or an all-digital organ. So as a result, that has affected the business as well. So today, I'm sitting inside of a factory that is 81,000 square feet, and the demand doesn't warrant 81,000 square feet. So we're trying to be as progressive as possible and being realistic with what the market is, and realizing, you know, this shop is designed to produce 50 to 100 organs a year, and that's the market is not there at this time. So what we're going to do is we're going to scale down to a smaller facility that will provide all of our needs, and yet we won't have the overhead, the heating bills like we currently have, because some of these buildings date back to 1910, and I think the 1910 building was built before insulation was invented. So the end result is it's not the most fuel-efficient building in the area. So it's very difficult, it's very challenging, and we've been trying to educate people that this is a surplus auction that we're holding next week, because we have too much stuff to take from 81,000 feet into a space that's, say, one-tenth the size. And so the best and most efficient way to sell off the items we don't need is to do an auction. But auctions typically are looked at as going out of business. And so we've been trying to educate people with the fact that Wix is going to remain in business, and we are also going to be manufacturing some items, but not the percentage as we did in the past. So our direct electric chest action will still be manufactured in-house. Other items, we're going to do the following. Our pipe shop, we have a pipe maker that has 25 years experience. We have sold him our pipe shop, and he's going to continue to provide Wix pipes to us. The difference is we won't have him on the payroll, but when we need pipes, we can get them. We have another gentleman who's going to be doing consoles for us. We have a lady who's going to be doing voicing for us. We can do relays in-house. So we've got a gentleman set up also who can do casework. So the former Wix employees are being set up into business so that as we need things, we can get them. The beauty of that is that the company remains in business. We don't have the overhead, and which is very challenging when business is slow. We have had a great staff of people come through here, and it's very disheartening because there's four of these people that have worked here for over 50 years, and several are still active. And so that's difficult, but you have to make the hard decisions, and that's what we're doing, is that we just can't employ 30 to 40 people on a daily basis anymore. The demand is not there at this time. The reality is we have to make changes. It is a big step, and we were already trying to make things a little smaller, and some people call it downsizing. I like to call it smart sizing. You have to respond to the economy. And again, we're not here to blame anybody. We're here to be proactive and adjust to the times. The company will continue. We will be smaller. There isn't anything we still can't provide. The only difference is it may not all be made under our roof, but it will be made in the very close vicinity. And so we think it's a good way to preserve the people who have worked here with the skill, and at the same time, keep the company open and maintain warranties, take care of our customers. But the big thing is communication and keeping people informed. And that's something I would share with anybody. If somebody has a question about Wix, the funny part is I get very few calls of people out in the industry asking me, hey, what's going on at Wix? I heard you're closed. You know, but everybody's talking, but nobody's talking to me. So I wanted to thank especially Brent Johnson for actually putting this together, because it's an opportunity for me to at least tell people, you know, what we're doing and why. And if they've got questions, they're welcome to email me at markw@wix.com or call me at the Wix number, 618-654-2191, just to get the straight scoop, you know, and I'll tell you like it is. So, and if we were closing, we would let people know that as well, because that's the right thing to do and it's the fair thing to do. Everybody's key, don't get me wrong, but we're going to be keeping the people that basically help us design and engineer organs, if you will. We still have John Sperling here. He comes in one day a week. He's a 50-year veteran of Wix. He brings a lot to the table from experience and very good on operations, if you will. Chris Soar is involved on the tonal end and has been groomed to handle writing of specs, setting of Cs, and also tonal finishing out in the field. We have a gentleman, Jeremy Edwards, who's currently running our service department. He's also handling a lot of the day-to-day. If somebody needs a part, he gets it boxed and shipped. There'll be myself. There's also, we have a service crew of four gentlemen, and they're going to be continuing to service the accounts that we have, which is about 100 to 200 mile radius around Highland, Illinois. So that's going to be the basic crew, plus, of course, we'll have one gal here as a secretary and our accountant. And the beauty of that is anything you need, questions answered, we've got the ability to do that for people. We do have our sales directors around the country, and to my knowledge, we haven't lost one as a result of all the changes. They've been solicited by other companies, and they enjoy working with Wix and have decided to stay with Wix. So we're going to continue to support them, support our customers. The big difference is instead of walking out to Rick in the pipe shop to make a pipe, we're going to be calling him at his new location, his home, where he has a factory set up, if you will, to manufacture those. Now, if something happens to him, we have other vendors, select vendors. We're not just going to use anybody. And so we have choices and we have options, but the key here is we write the specs of how things are built. People who are our vendors will build them to our specs. So when somebody wants a Wix organ, it will be a Wix organ. Even though somebody else might be making it, that's outside the physical plant, it will be built to our specs. Wix is going to be here in the long foreseeable future. We're making adjustments. We're trying to be very upfront with people in the industry. And if somebody's got a question, they're welcome to call. If they want to stop by and visit, that's fine too. And we're not here to hide anything. We're just responding to the economy. Wix will be here. We're going to continue to manufacture our action. We've got a good game plan to continue to manufacture organs, both nationwide, worldwide. And we're looking forward to taking care of our customers. And, you know, we'll see what the market does. We'll see what the economy does. And you never know what we're going to create next, you know, depending on what the demand is. But we've got a very flexible staff. We've got a resilient staff. We've got a lot of great colleagues around the world that are supportive and throw ideas out at us. It's exciting, and I'm more excited now because we're going to be getting past the point of just paying the bills. We're trying to become more competitive again in the market that's out there. So, you know, we're trying to do our best, and by becoming more competitive, the end result is we can hopefully serve more customers.
Well, it sounds like Mark is very confident that the company will continue to survive.
Yes, Mark is very confident in the future of the reorganized company. This wasn't a decision that he and the board made lightly. There's been a lot of thought and consideration put in this plan. You know, this is a family-run business, and Mark told me a bit about his family. His father, Martin Wick, ran the company for more than 60 years. That's more than half of the time that the company has been in existence.
My father was Martin Wick, and he was a very good father. He was also a very good boss. He was very good at listening to people and also trying to make things better. So he was always very creative, and he didn't come up with all the ideas. He had a lot of good people around him, but he would give them the flexibility to help incorporate a lot of those ideas. He was not a trained organist, but he could play by ear. He also liked to play theater organ. So he enjoyed just playing the organ, and many times when I was growing up as a child, he'd be down in the basement where we have a large, about a 29-rank pipe organ, and he'd be playing in the dark, literally, and didn't need to see any music, didn't even need to see the keys, so I would have to turn the lights on to go down and see him play. But he was very capable at many things. He was also a pilot. He was very successful at running the business, very good with people, very fair, And like in any business, sometimes you make decisions that you don't like, and my dad made decisions I didn't care for, but he was always fair about it and would generally explain why he thought what he did. But he was very respected in the industry. He did many things to help the industry. For example, during World War II, everybody was building, could not build pipe organs during the war effort, so we built airplane wings for the PT-19 and PT-23. After the war, he's the one who flew to Washington, D.C. to get the regulations lifted to allow the whole industry to start building pipe organs again. So he has done a lot of things to help the industry, staying in regular contact with congressmen and women, letting them know, you know, how a small business owner thinks and what he needs to continue his work. And he fulfilled thousands of contracts. I don't know of anybody that he didn't fulfill, and that's very satisfying, both as an employee under my father and also as a son under my father. So a lot of respect, and having been in his shoes at this point, I have much greater respect for what he went through daily, and for him to continue to have a smile on his face every day was pretty impressive. My mother's the chairman or the chairwoman of the board, and she kind of oversees the operation. At the same time, I try to take over as much of that responsibility for her so that she doesn't have to worry or have a lot of the stress, if you will, just day-to-day. But she loves to interface with the customers. Many times she will go to conventions and meet and greet. Many times she will be with committees. She's also a classically trained organist from Fontbonne College at the time, which is now Fontbonne University. I have a brother, Scott Wick. He is over at Wick's Aircraft Supply that supplies parts and components for people who want to build their own airplanes. I have a sister, Mary Haber. She is involved in kitchen and bath design. She is outside the business, but she is, I think, one of the finest designers when it comes to kitchen and bath. And she's also designed pipe organs for us in the past. She worked here as well, and her designs are very elegant as well. Her passion is more on the kitchen and bath, and so she has gravitated to that area. The oldest sister, Kim, she presently has 10 children, so she's creating the next generation. And she sold for us when she was down in Houston, Texas, and she continues to pass leads along, if you will, churches that are looking who may need our help. But she's pretty busy just raising her kids. And so we've all worked in the business at one point of our life. We've done different functions, and then as far as active in the business right now, it's my mother, Barbara Wick, my brother, Scott Wick, and then myself.
You're listening to At the Organ.
So Mark mentioned his father was a pilot and talked about Wick's aircraft. What has that got to do with the organ building industry?
He told me about how during World War II they had to stop making organs by order of the government, and how that led to them working on airplanes and eventually starting the other company that the family currently owns.
The origin of the Wicks started as a result of many things. One, my father was a pilot and had a lot of background in aviation. His vice president, George Gibbons, was also a pilot and a mechanic. His plant superintendent was Richard Hazy. He was also a pilot and a very good craftsman and mechanic. And we had another craftsman here named Mel Smith. And another product we had developed or had done was also grandfather clocks for Seth Thomas, and we built those for a while. And then after those clocks, we also then segued into building airplanes. Now, how did that happen? Well, they went to Rockford, Illinois at the time, and they met a gentleman named Ken Rand, who stands about 5'2", from Southern California, and he developed a new design called a KR-2. KR for Ken Rand and 2 for 2 seats. Now, what was unique about this plane, and this was back in the early 70s, was that it was built out of composites, which is basically a foam core wrapped with fiberglass. So now you have a wing that is absolutely smooth, so it goes through the air with less resistance, meaning more speed. They ran a Volkswagen engine because Volkswagen engines were air-cooled, which is what you need on an airplane. And this little plane would do like 160 miles an hour on 3.5 gallons of gas an hour. The very unique thing is this plane they built in 9.5 weeks from some very, very crude blueprints. And that comes from the skill level of the craftsmen that we have here. And so they put this together in record time, and we did it as a hobby. We didn't go into this looking to supply and make airplanes. We did it for fun. My dad liked to build. He was approached by some of the employees to build it by Mr. Hazy and Mel Smith. He said, let's do it, and they did it. And we took it up to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which is now one of the largest air shows in the world, and it won Grand Champion that year. Then we ran across another gentleman named Bert Rutan. Bert's the guy who developed and designed the Voyager that went around the world nonstop, non-refuel back in 1987. It took him about, I think, 8 to 9.5 days nonstop, and we supplied a lot of the parts for that. But prior to that, we actually built his first design, which was called a Very Easy. It's two-seat, small wing in the front called a canard, big wing in the back. And we started kitting those for him so that he could design, we would pay him a commission, and we would supply all the parts to his customers. And out of those two designs, the business grew very quick and very rapidly. In fact, there were so many people calling the Oregon company that we had to start creating new phone lines and a new building so that that could be handled because that was tying up all the Oregon company lines. And the other thing that tied in the businesses is Sitka spruce. Sitka spruce is a wood that comes out of Alaska, and this was one of the tie-ins between airplanes and Oregon. And the wood is very lightweight. It's also very strong. In the Oregons that we build, we use it because it's straight grain. It's very clean. There's no knots, and we also use it for tone. There's flute pipes that we use, and the Sitka spruce produces what we feel is one of the finest tones for making a wood flute pipe out of. That wood is also used in airplanes, and so we started supplying the industry of home-built aircraft with Sitka spruce spars and also ribs, cap strip, and so forth. And so there's actually a lot of connections between airplanes and Oregons. It doesn't seem like there would be any on the surface, but as you start to hear some of the history between the pilots and having very good craftsmen and the different materials as a result, the two are very much connected. So as a result, there's now Wick's Aircraft Supply, which started in 1974. It's currently being run by my brother, Scott Wick.
So that's interesting that these two very different companies have so much overlap. I never would have really thought about that. So what else did you and Mark talk about?
Mark also told me about the company's 100-year-old history and the changes they've made, including the development of and use of electronic augmentation. By that, I mean the combination organs, which are organs with both pipes and digital stops, as well as the completely digital instruments that the company has available.
Wick's was very progressive in the chest action. We developed a chest action that eliminated a lot of the maintenance challenges. Over time, when you're building a hand-built instrument, it's very expensive. When you make the pipes, it's all done by hand, so it's very expensive. As time went on, not everybody could afford that expense, and so people started to imitate pipe organs by recording them and playing them back through essentially a stereo. And then that was incorporated into organs, which came out as electronic organs and then analog, and then progressed into digital organs. The advantage of that is if a church had a limited budget, they would be able to get an organ for their church that they could afford. Doesn't mean they didn't want a pipe organ, but in some cases they may not have had the space for pipes. They may not have had the money to purchase it. And yet they still wanted something to lead congregational hymn singing, their worship service, and so forth. And so the electronic organs go back to like late 40s when they got started. And we have tinkered with electronic organs for a long time, but it wasn't until really the 80s when the sound of electronic organs reached the level of quality that we were willing to put it with our instrument, thus the combination organ. Combination organ means you've got a combination of pipe and digital voices. So one instrument might have one set of pipes and the rest digital, or the instrument might have 50 sets of pipes and one digital voice, or anywhere in between. It could be more or less, any combination. And the beauty of that was, if we had a space limitation, yet the organist wanted more stops, we could now provide it. If we had a budget limitation, we could now take care of that customer because they couldn't afford a 50-rank organ, but yet they wanted the specification of a 50-rank organ. But in our industry is very traditional. It's very slow to change, and it's not very receptive to new things, especially anything that isn't a pipe organ, meaning digital. And so our focus has always been the customer. So we tend to listen to them more than another organ company who may be adamantly against it or opposed. And there's all different reasons, and there's different opinions, different logics, and they're not right and they're not wrong. They're everybody's opinion as to how it should be done. And so as a result, today we've done over 300 combination organs, and I can honestly tell you that the customers have been very, very happy with them, and we satisfied their need. Today we can provide an all-digital organ. We can provide a digital and pipe, and we can provide an all-pipe instrument. The beauty of that is when we're talking to a customer, we don't have to sell them on anything. We listen to what they need, and then we create a plan to fulfill the need. The warranty is 10 years on the organ, 25 on the action. These people go from customers to family because you're going to be in contact with them for a long time, and you're going to stay in regular communication, and it's really kind of like a long-term marriage. And so you want to do right by them, and you want to sleep at night, quite frankly. You want people to be happy. We were one of the first to get involved with digital with pipe organs. There's been digital around for a long time. But it wasn't until the 80s when my father connected with a gentleman, Bob Walker, and they put a unit together, and the sound quality was at a level that was very impressive to pipe organ builders. And it was at that point that we started to incorporate digital with our instruments. The other really nice feature is that the digital will automatically tune with the pipes. So as the temperature goes up and down, the sensor will move the digital with the pipes so that it all stays in tune.
Well, Nikki, thank you for going to Highland and talking to Mark Wick and bringing us this interview.
It was a pleasure. It was nice talking to Mark about his longstanding family company. And if anyone has any questions, he more than welcomes people to contact him so he can talk about it.
There's more information about the auction, the company holding the auction, where you can see pictures of all of the items for sale, as well as a link to the Wick's Organ Company website on our website at attheorgan.com. Thank you for listening. My name is Brent Johnson.
I'm Nikki Morales.
We'll see you here next week at The Organ.
You've been listening to At the Organ, a weekly look at the art and music of the classical organ. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Send your email to info@attheorgan.com or just go to our website where you can comment on the show. There you can also hear this week's show again or find back episodes. The address is attheorgan.com. At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. For more information about supporting the Foundation or sponsoring an episode of At the Organ, go to organmedia.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet you here next week at the Organ.